just got back from talking to people we don't know about abortion, and now we're debriefing. We are Created Equal, and we're inviting you to debrief with us. Hey, y'all, I'm Lexi.
Hey, everyone, it's Seth again. And today we're debriefing a conversation about young men and responsibility. And so this time we've dragged Isaac back from the computers where he's normally sitting behind the scenes working with our producer, Esther, preparing this and other media for us. But we've brought him out here for our conversation about this. I'm looking forward to it today, Lexi.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it as well. Thank you so much, Isaac, for coming on.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Isaac is the type of person that hates to be on camera or hates to be...
Well, there's no camera right now.
Yes, it's so true. Great. So this shouldn't count, right, Isaac?
Right. No, also not on mic. Anything where I can just hide behind a camera or a soundboard is much preferred. But we'll go with it.
Thank you. Thank you, Isaac, for being a good sport. But yeah, today we're going to talk about in high school outreach that we were just at a few minutes ago.
Our first one of the season.
Yep. So we're really looking forward to it. I was nervous. What about you, Isaac? Were you nervous going into it?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, once I started having conversations, I realized I was a little more nervous than I thought I was just getting back into it.
Yeah. So what is your, we go to colleges all the time. We also go to high schools all the time. What's the difference between a college outreach and a normal high school outreach?
Sure. So, I mean, when you go to a college, you're kind of looking, I mean, you're kind of going to, you know, you're going to have longer conversations there. A lot of the students there tend to be a little more stubborn as well. They've maybe already done their own research on abortion, or they've heard things, they have experience, whether they've had an abortion or they have friends who've had an abortion. So they kind of already have ideas going into it. Whereas when you go to a high school, a lot of these kids really haven't thought about the issue before, and they're seeing these images, a lot of them, for the first time. So I actually prefer high school outreaches. I know you don't, Lexi.
Hey, true.
Well, also, Isaac, this is the first time on the podcast talking about high school outreach. I know you just mentioned kind of briefly what you're doing, but give us a picture for anyone who's like, okay, what does it look like when you're outside of high school?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, we're, of course, not allowed on the high school campuses. So what we have to do is we set up outside of the high school, right by the road there for when the kids are leaving for the day, when they're let out, and then whether they're, you know, walking to get on the bus or they're walking home, or maybe, you know, if they're driving with their parent in their car, we try to stop them and just show them the images and ask them what they think about abortion. Usually those conversations are a lot more brief than the ones you're going to have downtown or on a college campus. But I appreciate how honest a lot of the high schoolers are.
Yeah, and so getting into that, we have a clip that we want to share with everybody of a conversation you just had. So I guess let's get into that right now.
Can I give you one of these, man?
Yeah.
What do you think about abortion?
I got no opinion on it. I don't think it's wrong or nothing like that. Like, if you want to do it, do it.
You can do that to a baby? If you want to do that to a baby, do you think that's okay to do? I know it kind of makes it real, right, to see something like that.
But I'm not a female, so I mean...
Sure. But, I mean, we don't know...
I don't got no say on it. I don't got no say.
Okay. But, I mean, you know, I'm not ever discriminated against for my race, but I can recognize when someone is discriminated against for having a different color of skin, then that's wrong, right?
Yeah, it is.
So even if it doesn't directly apply to me, I can see someone else is being discriminated against or killed.
Yeah.
And that's objectively wrong, right?
It is.
So whether or not we're females, whether or not this is something we ever face in real life, we can still look at a dead baby and say that's wrong to kill a baby, right?
Yeah, it is.
Right, and that's what abortion is doing. So isn't that a wrong thing to do?
No.
I'd say so. All right, thanks for talking, man. You have a good one. Thanks.
Okay, Isaac, so I was watching that video with you, as was Lexi. Even though I was not present, Lexi was. But the audience can't see what he was looking at. So can you describe what he was looking at? You mentioned to him the sign you were standing by. What was on that sign?
Yeah, so all of our signs, most of our signs anyway, have... little babies that are torn apart, babies who have been aborted. So the one that I was referencing, I believe that was an 8-week-old baby, so still quite young, but you can very clearly see there's a head. It's decapitated, and then the body is separate from the head, and there's hands and feet just kind of floating around. So it's a very graphic image, and I could tell it really affected him. So I was grateful for that when he looked at that, it seemed like it changed his whole demeanor.
Yeah, and going off of that, like, throughout the conversation, he started out, hey, he can't have a say on abortion. And then you go into asking him, really trying to show him that there is a such thing as right and wrong, as something that's objectively wrong. And when you even started pushing him on that and saying, well, hey, it is wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being, he agreed with you. So right, yeah. I think you could tell in that conversation there was some sort of switch, some sort of change in his mind.
The wheels were turning in his mind and his heart. Sure. And this is hard because we talk about how to change someone's mind on abortion, but it's not only an intellectual thing. We're appealing to their heart, their mind, because God made us as ensouled beings with hearts and minds together, right? And so it's not just his thinking about abortion being right or wrong, but how he feels about it that matters. And I think watching that he walked away feeling very differently. And that's back to what you were saying, Isaac, in the beginning, that many times high school students are more open because they have spent less time sitting beneath the training of very leftist teachers who are trying to train them a certain way. So that I think it's very refreshing.
Yeah, and so you only had a few seconds. That was probably like a minute long conversation
from beginning to end, right?
Yeah. But how did he end? I know we kind of could hear, but for the people who couldn't really see, well, nobody could see that's listening to this, but he just walked away. He didn't say anything, right?
No, yeah. When you talk about his wheels returning, I could definitely see that going on in his head. He did not answer when I asked him if abortion was wrong right at the end there, just to kind of clarify. He had agreed. He had said that it's always wrong to kill somebody. And then when I followed up that up with the question directly relating to abortion, you could definitely tell the wheels were turning.
I'm not sure he had to answer, honestly. I think it was an obvious answer.
I think so. And I think he honestly will be thinking about it more too, because it seemed like, you know, he's one of those kids who really just hasn't thought about it before.
Yeah, so let's jump into kind of what he was saying. So he said, I'm not a female. Now, we've heard that before. Isaac, right. I'm going to out you for the audience. You are a man, right? And so am I. Okay, is that all right here?
Yeah.
Got you, right. So we talked this a bit with Cole earlier about people saying that, you know, who is a man to say? So can you kind of walk for the audience maybe your impression of his argument there? What was he trying to say in this situation?
Sure. So, I mean, I think first off, I think he is trying to be generous with that and recognizing that it's not something that, you know, it's not a personal decision that he's going to make in the future. And he wants to be kind to the women who maybe are facing that. So I think that is, you know, a lot of times there is that generous motivation maybe behind it, or maybe at least that you think is behind it. But underneath that is also just kind of a dodging of responsibility if you really get into it more. Like whether or not he realizes that's behind it, it's a great cop out for us men to just say, hey, it's not something I'm ever going to have to face, so women can do what they want. Their body, their choice.
Yeah, and I think it's just been so ingrained into young men, into society in general. So they just, somebody tells them, I don't even know. Like, I'm trying to think back in high school. I went to public school. So did you,
Sam. So did
Sam.
I, yeah.
Isaac was school.
All right, there we go. Congratulations.
Yeah, Isaac was homeschooled.
That's why he's doing better on this than us.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to think about when were guys told, you have no say on abortion? Because, like, I remember people having abortions. I remember people talking about abortion in high school and even in middle school. But, like, somewhere along the line, guys are being told you have no say. And probably a lot of people leave it at that surface level. Okay, I'm going to take that route and I'm going to have no say. But let's go down into the different perspectives people could have when they're holding that same view.
Well, I think one thing to connecting to that, Lexi, is what Isaac just said is so, what's the word, nefarious? So you have this good desire, actually, to, he's trying to be maybe somewhat generous here by saying, I'm not a man, let a woman decide. But something deep is going on there. What we're doing, because when I was in school, it wasn't so much a gentleman, you should all know you have no responsibility. It was more like the background air we're all breathing. This is a woman's issue. You shouldn't have a say. You should let her decide. It wasn't forced upon us. It was kind of just woven into the background there sometimes. And so you match that dangerous thinking with a somewhat understandable good motivation. You have a really terrible combination there where you actually think you're doing good and you're doing a lot of harm by then hurting women, by not having any role at all in this, which is not helpful to women in any way.
Yeah, and I think that's what Isaac did really well, was whenever he did come with this objection that he's not a woman, he has no say, Isaac didn't just straight up focus on that. He pointed back to the preborn, about the injustice of abortion, because it wouldn't be wrong for somebody to hold the position that they can't tell a woman to get a root canal or something like that, right? Like, a man, whatever, I guess, shouldn't decide if a woman can get a root canal or
she needs a root canal, let her get a root canal.
So the question is, yeah, the question is abortion wrong, or is it just another procedure? Is it just healthcare?
Well, that's important.
Yeah. So I think what you did was really good about pointing it straight back to the preborn child, getting to refer back to the images of the victims of abortion. That's where his wheel started turning.
Good. Yeah. No, I think, I don't know, you know, it's one of those issues that once you actually think through it logically and you actually recognize the, you know, the images of what abortion is doing. And I think that's kind of, you know, why I wanted to tie it back to racial injustice too. And, you know, maybe being discriminated against for another reason besides age, that seemed to be something he connected to pretty quickly. And when you think about it logically, like, yeah, that is what's going on. It's discrimination based on something arbitrary, age. But that's not usually in the conversation about abortion because, you know, this whole mantra of my body, my choice works so well.
Mm-hmm. So if you had more time, to talk to this guy, say we were at a college, that's why I love college outreaches, 'cause you do get more time to talk to them. If you did have that opportunity, how would you expand on your thoughts and how would you kind of point to him, show him his responsibility in this?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I definitely would have liked to just kind of press him a little bit more on that because I, like we were saying, I think he really was thinking through it. He was almost there, but and then he got a chance to cross the street with his friends. So he got out of that. But, you know, if I could really challenge him more on whether or not what I'm saying is logically consistent. And I mean, he already agreed that it's wrong to kill somebody. So if that's what abortion does, that's, you know, our whole syllogism, it's wrong to kill people, and that's what abortion does. So abortion is wrong.
Exactly right. I think the elements were there already, though, Isaac, in the end, when I heard you refer to him to talk about what's objectively wrong. You know, he started the conversation before talking about, I'm a man, I have no responsibility. He said, you know, I think what he says, if you want to do it, do it. This my body, my choice idea, right? So what does he mean there? And then contrast that with your whole statement of objectively wrong. What contrast were you painting for him?
Yeah, I think just looking at this whole issue, I mean, we recognize in other situations, I know you guys have talked about on this podcast before, the idea of rape is objectively wrong, murdering a born person is objectively wrong, and you get into the mindset with abortion because of our culture, because of the way that this has been framed in society, what he's probably heard before on My Body, My Choice, that, you know, this idea of if you want to do it, do it. You know, that makes it kind of a subjective thing, and morals cannot be subjective. Things are either right or they're wrong. And especially when we're talking about killing somebody, I mean, I'd say that's an objective wrong.
For sure. And that's what I mean, you know, I remember years ago, I saw some abortion protesters at an event. You were probably there, both of you. Someone has signs saying abortion, you do you. That's just that very idea, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do what you want to do, no big deal. But like you said, if morals are subjective, relative to a society, every culture gets to decide, or every person gets to decide, then we have anarchy. There's nothing is wrong for all peoples, all times, but we all look backward and see these atrocities like the Holocaust or Rwandan genocide or many other incidents where we know something objectively immoral happened.
Right.
And we've talked as a group before about, and many of our listeners probably are familiar with, of course, not only with the Holocaust, but some have heard about the Nuremberg trials, where Nazis were held responsible after their crimes, right? And they said, well, you know what? You can't hold us responsible to other countries coming in. They say, we were just enforcing Germany's laws. Mm-hmm. But the World Court said, no, there's a higher law above Germany, the law of human rights that you violated. So we recognize that there's a law above individual humans. That's the objective moral law. We would argue comes from God, the moral lawgiver. And so things that are wrong for everyone, not just for you or me.
Yeah, and people can't live in this relative the way that they...
No.
The way that they may say they believe in right and wrong, that there's no such thing as objective morality, but they don't live that out. I'm sure if he's going walking with his friends home and somebody tries to steal his backpack and walk away with it, he's not just going to brush that off like nothing's happened. I'm sure that whole, all of his friends would go get that person and get his backpack back. So it just kind of pointing out the fact that they would never, never actually follow that. And also humanizing the preborn child, I think, is what is so crucial. And that's what I'm really grateful we use photos of abortion victims at Created Equal, because the preborn need to be humanized.
Can I talk about just also one more thing again that Isaac did, which you referred to earlier, Lexi? So the worldview that people like this gentleman, we don't know his worldview exactly, but they often hold to this idea of moral relativism, right? So morals are relative to individuals, to societies. It's not objective, binding on everyone. Isaac pointed, again, to things that we know as a society we recognize are immoral. A clearly racial injustice, discriminating based upon someone's skin color, we all know today is objectively immoral. So Isaac was doing what Greg Kochel refers to of, you know, finding someone's hot button issue. Mm-hmm. Greg Kochel is a Christian apologist who says, if someone says morals are relative, find something they don't like and ask them, is that wrong for everyone? I bet that Isaac, you would know better than anyone, this young man, if you asked him, is it right or wrong to discriminate based on skin color? I'm guessing he'd say that's wrong for everyone.
Right, yeah. And also this idea of wanting to give women a choice, you know, to be kind to them. He would say, I'm guessing he would say that's an objectively right thing to do. And that's, of course,
true.
Hopefully part of, you know, at least a big part of his motivation besides that. But something you guys were saying before, too, it just reminded me of a quote or an answer that I really like from R.C. Sproul. And I know people listening to this may have theological disagreements with R.C. Sproul, but I love one time he was asked the question, how can you prove to someone who, you know, who's being very stubborn that right and wrong objectively exist? And R.C. Sproul says, steal his wallet.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So. I think we've even talked about that before on the podcast. Somebody steal your wallet, you're going to get, you can realize that morals are not just objective.
Well, if anyone from my old youth group is watching, shout out to you, because we all have t-shirts that sit on the back of them. If it's all relative, I'll take your wallet.
Yes.
I'm not sure everyone got that, but it was on our t-shirts.
That's hilarious. That's, yeah. Well, I was going to say one thing, and then that quote completely made my mind go blank, but I was going to, it was going to be something really, really good every time.
While you remember your okay. enlightening thing, I mean, thank that's again you. Important. So everyone who's listening should recall this, because, you know, just jump into Isaac mode when you're talking to someone, because all the time we hear my body, my choice, you do you. They might believe that about some things like abortion, but there's something they don't believe that on, that hot button issue, racism, genocide, whatever it is, find it, point to that, and they will believe that things are objectively wrong.
Yep.
Okay, I remember now. So even holding to the position, I like to talk to people about this, like even holding to the position that women should have a choice, that's not just like a neutral ground. So this guy, he's actually pro-abortion. There's no such thing as being neutral on this.
Yeah.
If you're saying to a woman, you have the right, you should be able to have an abortion if you want to, that is pro-abortion. No way around it.
Right.
And so in doing that, you're not being neutral. I think a lot of guys think they're being neutral by saying that. Yeah. I mean, I hear this by probably like half the guys I talk to give me this line somewhere throughout the conversation, thinking they're neutral. They're far from it. They're pro-abortion. And I think we need to express that to them, let them know that. Because I think a lot of people just think, you know, I'm kind of out of this. I don't have to be held accountable for what I'm saying.
I'd love to hear both of your thoughts on that. How do you point that out to someone who believes this is the neutral zone, I'm being pro-choice, whatever you want to do? How do you point that out to someone that your position is not one of neutrality?
Well, sorry, go. No, you can go, Lexi.
No, Isaac, you go.
All right. So that's something I know I've heard you say before, is that the status quo is that 2,300 babies are being killed every single day. So if we do nothing, if we just let this status quo continue as it is, then, you know, that's in support of abortion. If you're not doing anything to stop these little babies from being murdered, you are supporting it in your apathy.
100%. And I would say, like, going back to showing the victims of abortion, saying, if you were standing there and somebody was about to abort this child and you said, well, either way, you can do it, you cannot do it, and you didn't step in and do anything, by you not interjecting, I guess, or into that situation, you're allowing this person to be killed. It may not be you're the one committing the abortion, but in you not protecting somebody who's so vulnerable and needing your protection, you're enabling that. You're allowing a child to be killed.
Yep.
Well, I would like to just, I think it's well said. I'd like to throw it back to Isaac for our last point on this. So Isaac, you know, again, I outed you earlier as a man. So we're talking about this young man who is already forming his worldview, has been for years, and right now he, up until that point, thought, I'm actually being virtuous by allowing women to decide. There are many young men in this situation being trained by our society and by teachers, by college professors to do that, to actually help women by hurting them and by helping to kill children. What is something you think our audience should know as they try to stop this problem of a lack of responsibility among young men?
And it's so important because, I mean, this guy, even though he's fairly young right now, I don't know, maybe 15 or 16, he is about to go, you know, more into the real world. And, you know, a lot of young guys like that, you know, I don't know him, but are more sexually promiscuous and, you know, could end up in a situation where he gets someone pregnant. And if he thinks that that's just, you know, that woman's choice and she wants to kill his baby, that's so dangerous. So, yeah, it's really important to be able to speak to these guys, to let them know that they do have a responsibility. And especially in a case like this where someone could die, I mean, that's the design of fathers. It's not just a women's issue, because, of course, it takes a man also to create a child, and he has a responsibility.
So well said, and I hope that many men listening to this are going to be inspired to seeing the lack of responsibility to stand up and do something. Whether you're a man or woman, it does not matter. We can all be involved in this effort for human rights, but there are so many young men like him who need good male role models.
Yeah.
So everyone listening, please consider being that male role model, or if you're a woman, a female role model. We all need good role models. But also, you've been listening to us. Thank you for listening again. You have been a faithful listener, so you probably by now know the drill. Subscribe to our podcast. If you like what you're hearing, please leave a 5-star review. You can also find us on our social media at Debrief With Us, or just go to createdequal.org. Thank you for joining us today. This has been The Debrief.
Oh, boy.
I think it was a good episode.